And please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. We'll read this responsively using our New King James Version. In Judah God is known, His name is great in Israel. There He broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword of battle, Selah. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, Selah. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. Well, we look here at Psalm 76, and we see that this continues several of these by Asaph. It is a song. Now, this is one of the spiritual songs that Paul talks about. In Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, this is one of those, and this is what he is talking about here. We'll note that we have no idea what the occasion was for this song. In several commentaries, there are conjectures, but all the commentators say this is just conjecture. As Larry has mentioned before, there is frequently a reason for this, because it is not for a specific time and place. It is for the use of all the people of God. Sometimes, of course, we do have Psalms that we do know specifically the occasion of their writing, but the Holy Spirit spoke through the author of that psalm, the earthly author of that psalm, so it would have universal application in the Church of Jesus Christ. Everywhere and at all times. The psalms then were useful for the people of God. The psalms now are useful for the people of God. They spoke to the hearts of the people then and now, because they are not merely the reflections and the thoughts of a man or several, in the case of the sons of Korah. They are from the Creator. And so all the Psalms have really, in a way, a threefold reference. They are for our use and for our encouragement and for our blessing. They relate to our needs. And not only our, meaning right here in Bell Center on August, whatever day this is, the 10th of 2008, but they resonate in the hearts of all of God's people in all times. How can they do this? Because the ultimate author is not Asaph. The ultimate author is the Spirit of God. The ultimate author is the Creator of all His people, and the one who is their recreator, the one who has made them to be born yet again. And so He knows our hearts in a way that we do not. He knows how to relate to all His creatures, and these are specially fitted for us. Secondly, they are fitted, all of them, to give praise to God in a way that humans cannot do. Because humans, creatures, even redeemed creatures, cannot know the mind and heart of God until and unless God reveals Himself to them. And so it is that we have this praise coming from, not ultimately Asaph, this praise comes from the Spirit of God. We offer praise that He has supplied, just like the Psalms themselves say. And thirdly, as we point out so frequently, they all point to Jesus Christ. In the time in which this was written, it was pointing the people ahead to Jesus. And now we look back to these old writings, but they have fresh new meaning in these days of accomplishment of the promises. In this day in which the fullness of the new covenant is shown forth. It is not merely now a time of promise, but a time of fulfillment. And so it is that although the Psalms were wonderfully suitable for the people of God, wonderfully useful, they're even more so for us. Now then, looking at this psalm, it is in Judah that God is known. His name is great in Israel. And we want to note that apart from that, God is not known. Outside of the people of God, God is not known. It is simply not true that in a saving way anyway, and in a true way, others know God. They don't. They do not know Him, nor, savingly speaking, are they known of Him, known by Him. We sometimes sing about the wicked, how God only knoweth them from afar. In that He knows their hearts, He knows their ways, but there is not that loving, intimate relationship with them which His people have in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. His tabernacle is in Salem. Now that is referring to Jerusalem, of course, but it also ought to make us think of what we read and sing about sometimes in Psalm 110, about Jesus, who is the new high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the author of the letter to the Hebrews goes into this quite a bit. He is patterned on, or perhaps we ought to say Melchizedek is patterned on, Jesus, who is King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who has brought us peace. Peace with God and protection for our enemies without. How wonderfully that goes along then with the rest of this psalm that speaks of God's protection for His people. Protection even though in an earthly way their enemies look to be many, and they are, and they look to be strong. And in an earthly way they certainly are. But they are nothing compared to King Jesus, our King in Salem. He breaks the arrows of the bow, and the sword and the shield, well, I've made it backwards, the shield and the sword of battle. Selah! It is there that Asaph is led to stop, to pause, to think, to consider. And let us. What application does this have? Well, first of all, the one we should be fearing is not the wicked, the strong one of this earth. The one by whom we should be dazzled is not the dictator and the despot. No, the one who is glorious and excellent is the one who has saved us. The one who is King of Salem. He is more glorious and excellent than mountains of prey. As a matter of fact, those who were strong and stout-hearted, they are not the ones who are exalting over the prey. They are the prey themselves. It is they who are piled up, though they thought to slaughter, they thought to end the people of God. They're plundered, they have sunk into sleep, and none of the mighty men, not a one, have found the use of their hands. The great weapons, the weapons of warfare, the weapons of technological superiority of the time, they're wiped out at a mere word of God. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. We were singing from Psalm 2 a few moments ago, friends, and does that not relate here? Why the kings of the earth seek to band together, seek to confederate together, just like the kings of Canaan in the south and in the north at two different times sought to against the people of God when they came in under Joshua. But you will remember, just as they banded together, so they were destroyed as well. So it happens in all the times in which God, in which Jesus Christ is reigning. Who is to be feared? The dictators and the despots? No. Jehovah, and particularly in the person of His Son, is to be feared. No one can stand in His presence when once He is angry. No, for He judges from heaven. Our King, who sits on Zion's hill, is a King now. He is not merely a coming again. Yes, certainly, He shall come again. But He is not merely a coming King, one who will eventually, though not now, take up His scepter and reign. No, that iron scepter is in His hand now. Even now He sits on His throne where His Father has placed Him. The earth has reason to be fearful and to be still. God has already arisen to judgment, and He is even now delivering the oppressed of the earth. Let's stop and think about that, says the Spirit of God to Asaph as we come to our second Selah. What should be the response of the people of earth, and particularly of the people of God, to this grand deliverance that is being brought about and that has been brought about? Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. What? What does that mean? It is that the wicked, as they bond together, as they confederate to fight against the Lord and against His Christ, they are used by God despite their wrath, despite their anger, despite their rebellion. They show forth God's splendor, His power, His glory, His hatred of sin, and His destruction of the wicked. In this, the wrath of man praises God. And with the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. This wrath is made to wrap God up in glory, as it's shown to be nothing. And His splendor, His might, His wrath against sin is shown to be far more wonderful. For the people of God, here's the response: covenant with Jehovah. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around Him, and that is us who by grace have been drawn to Him, bring presents to Him who ought to be feared. Well, we have done that, haven't we? As we have been given the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, so it is that we yield up to Him our hearts and our lips with praise. He shall cut off the spirit of princes, that is, those who rebel against His King in Zion and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is awesome to the kings of the earth, as we have just sung from Psalm 2 and as we shall now sing from version B of Psalm 76.